Blog Talk Radio.
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away,
as always, Tool and the Gang. Yeah, jazz, that's when this first started. One of the greatest pieces of music ever done by anybody from a jazz musician. And nothing like summer today. A couple of days during the week, get up there. Let's say some more. It's October. Today, Mickey Mantle's birthday. And 3 days away from Pelé. Legend in common. Mantle, greatest home run switcher of all time. Pelé, greatest footballer. As we call soccer, they call football ever. The Ali of his kind. Or Ali was the Pelé. Boxing. Cowboys, a game that somebody said the loser would not make the playoffs. Eagles, Cowboys, 3-3. Records come into Dallas. Cowboys up big so far. And Rodgers, 5 touchdowns and ran one in today. To Jackson, the Ravens, still getting the raves. The defense said their concern was stopping him running. They couldn't do it. Melvin Gordon, my man, at the end of the game, a blue short. And San Diego, once again, loses. Pat Mahomes, 3 to 6 weeks. That's not bad news. That's horrible news for the Chiefs. Man, Jets and Patriots tomorrow. Jets coming off a win Thursday over the Redskins against the Vikings, who are red hot. Cousins is me, always suspect. Jets won a big game last week against the Cowboys. The Patriots haven't been playing that well offensively, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. The primetime game, Monday Night Football. The New England Patriots and the New York Jets. We always open up with a prayer, too. Something that says it all for us. You know, wherever you at this point of the day, you're blessed. Somebody has not made it this far, won't make it this far, won't make it this far. Charlie Wilson lead us in a song that says, first half of the game, 15-20, is Prescott 161, a touchdown. It's called Wex. Wentz sacked 3 times. He's 5 feet, 51 yards. Ezekiel Elliott, 13 carries, 65 yards. Touchdown, 4 catches with 25 yards. We're going to talk about it with Virgin Jump Shot. What he does as far as running and catching the ball. But Charlie Wilson says this for us all here. Fox County Sports, the Fox Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. It's a Sunday. Today, you would like a little summer bed. I like for the ladies, 88, 92 every day with no humidity. Gosh, she is always key, as they say. Wilson, express how we all feel.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly by my side. Green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes.
Network, and waiting for my caller ends to join me, And with that, it's can find some prayers for you. Got some nice prayers today, so let's go into prayer time with John Coltrane. And our prayer music. And Charlie Wilson, let's like that song. John Coltrane leads us in prayer with dear Lord, and I've got a bunch of good ones here today. So let's go right to them. And let me go, because my sister always sends me a horde of them. My nephew, Majesty, sends me a bunch of them. So let's read some of the ones I've got. Let's go with John Coltrane in the background, our first one. Father God, thank you for completing what you started in my life. I trust that no matter how dark things may seem, you are my shining light of hope. I thank you for working behind the scenes to carry me through to the place of victory in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's good morning. May God refresh your heart and soul today. Good morning. May God bless you and your loved ones with a beautiful day, evening, and night. Have a blessed Sunday morning. God's way of saying, one more time, live life, make a difference, touch one's heart, encourage one's mind, inspires one's soul. God bless. Those are prayers I've gotten. As we always say, in Jesus' name, the Lord, amen. Going to the line here. Looking for Jump Shot and for Bert. Is this Bert or Jump Shot?
Yeah, this is Bert.
Hey, Bert, good to hear you, baby. NFL Bert. Bert, I don't know if you're catching some of this game today. The Cowboys and the Eagles right now, the Cowboys are kind of dominating that game. But some games during the week, I don't know if you caught that. I like the game really today, the New Orleans game against the Bears. They really, I'm looking at it here too, Bert, is that nobody's giving, as I listen to this game today, nobody's giving Bridgewater his props. Nobody's giving Bridgewater.
I know that.
They're talking about the great coaching job by Peyton. They're talking about the way the defense has stepped up. I remember when Jamie Harris was quarterback in the Rams, and my good friend Julius Erving, we were talking one day how, when he throws a pass, it's a great job done by the offensive line. It's a great route ran by the passer. He has just have nothing to do with the success
with the quarterback.
But there was a great call. Bridgewater made a great pass running to his left, throwing back to his right, which was acknowledged. But it's just remarkable. I'm talking about a great job, his coaching job he's been doing these last five games, and just as if, Bridgewater has nothing. Good, Bert.
Yeah, it's a shame. But none of it would have worked without Bridgewater playing the way he's playing. And what we were reminded of, is Bridgewater is only 26 years old, so he's young.
So much on the money. They talked about that today. Two things they talked about. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block, Doc Radio, Trust and Grow Network, football, Bert. And, they talked about that today, too, at 26 years old and being they were saying, it's incumbent upon you. And when I came up, that was the big thing, Bert. A team had two good quarterbacks. You had your number 10, but the next guy was a 8 or so, And they talked about Peyton and New Orleans grabbing him, paying him top money as a highest paid backup quarterback in the game. And at 26 years old, he can pick and choose. And we look back at the fact that the Jets had him. I mean, he should have been the guy starting quarterback for the Jets last year. And I always said, Bird, had the complexion been reversed, Darnold would have been the backup guy learning from the pro. And the whole thing with Bridgewater is that I heard that, Bridgewater, he was on the bus going to camp. And he found on the bus that he was traded. They just stopped the bus and let him go. It's just I mean, it's remarkable. Some things change, they remain the same. But the Saints are 5-0. He led them to five straight victories. They're 6-1. You know, they lost one game with Drew Brees. So undefeated with him. The question came about now, does he play next week against Arizona? And you give with the bye week coming back, okay, so do you bring Brees back? They were saying if Brees wants to come back and play, he should come back and play. Okay, there's a certain status to that too, but I think they was kind of saying that it will be determined how the situation goes. You know, Drew Brees, to his credit, said, hey, you know, we've got a plan. So with the situation with that, we may see him again next week against Atlanta, who's playing horrible, and then you get the bye week, and then Drew Brees comes back. But this is, and they said, you know, no team has won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback except Philadelphia, who had Foles. But the lack of recognition and acknowledgement of the fine job that Bridgewater is doing, and you just heard it today. If you caught the game, you just heard it today, Bert. They talked about the defense. They talked about the line. You know, they talked about the play calling by the coach. And, you know, just nothing was really given a lot of credit to Bridgewater. And like I said, you know, as we go back to last year, you know, this is the second time the Jets, in my estimation, have messed over a quality quarterback. They did that with Tebow. Tebow came in here. Remember me and Joe Klecko talked about it. We talked about the fact that Tebow came here, a guy who was a starting quarterback, who won his division,
right,
who took his team to the playoffs, and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Something that the Jets hadn't
right.
done. They hadn't beat the Steelers.
Right.
They hadn't made the playoffs. And he comes in, he's willing to do the Wildcat. And then when we get down to the last three games, after telling us redundantly and erroneously and questioning our intellect that Mark Sanchez gave the Jets the best chance to win, so you know you've got three games left, and now you're going to flip over him and go to the third-string guy and not even give him a chance, that an opportunity that he deserved, and more importantly, let us see that he's not the quarterback that you think he wasn't.
And look at the fiasco with the Jets. Look at the fiasco with the Jets now, with all the backup quarterbacks they got. One of which they waived after they brought Darnell back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had Bridgewater. Bridgewater could have stepped right in, and who knows what that? The Jets are 1-4. Who knows what Bridgewater would have done if Darnell was the starter, and then he went out like he did with Mono. And then Bridgewater stepped right into the role. The Jets could have easily have won those games because he would have brought another dimension. He's a proven starter. He was a starter with the Vikings until he got hurt.
Yeah, it's just the whole saga with Bridgewater. He was the franchise quarterback at Minnesota. He gets hurt, and all of a sudden he can't get his job back. And then he comes to New York with all the qualifications of being a starter quarterback, had actually won the starting quarterback position. But luckily for him, it turned out, you know, he goes to the Saints, which is a better team than the Jets. He goes to the Saints, and we see what the residue of that is right now, a chance to get in the Super Bowl. But, you know, if he's here last year, if he's here this year, this team is maybe not 1-4. They should have won the Buffalo game. The kicking screwed them on that game. So let's say, for all intents and purposes, they're 2-3. Let's say with him, maybe they're 3-2. You know, I think tomorrow night is going to be kind of, you know, we have to see what they're doing because they looked good defensively last week. They're getting the best defensive player back. And, you know, the Patriots, you know, sometimes, you know, things aren't as they seem. You know, can only judge a book by its cover. The Patriots are 6-0, but they haven't been winning offensively. It's been their defense and special teams and always those special calls that seem to come their way. So, we could be with a rested Jet team and a game at home. Tomorrow could be 2-0. I mean, you know, they're due to beat the Patriots. And they always do playing well.
Exactly. And I mean, the one time that when they had Sanchez, they beat him up there in Foxborough in the rain when they were able to rain down on Brady and everything, and they beat him.
Well, remember, they were the team that went to the championship game 2 years in a row, not the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And they beat, like you said, they beat them in Foxborough to get there. There's no problem with that. Looking around the league today, nobody's talking about that quarterback who happens to be black in Baltimore. What a tremendous job.
No.
I mean, people were talking about
remember,
they wanted to take his money back.
Right.
Good,
and he won, because that young man won the starting position, and what the Ravens did, they turned around and they shipped Joe Flacco right on out to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
so
well,
here,
well, I mean,
here
well,
was, you know, Flacco
well, I mean,
was a Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Ravens, and like, wow, you know, I mean, the young man earned it; he deserved it. So
well,
obviously,
I mean,
they
you know,
saw
they,
something
they,
in
they,
him.
They talked about that last year too, where the fans were going against the move of Flacco being benched, and they said, you know, the players went to him and said, hey, you're out of line. You know, the games we won is because this young man's been the quarterback. He's the quarterback of the future. And I think, too, what we got to look at is, and my point, how well that young man is playing in Annapolis. I mean, you know, when Luck went down, they wanted the season ticket money back, and we've got some quarterbacks of color doing some outstanding jobs here. Jackson won today. Annapolis, he won again today. A lot of people say he's the best quarterback in football right now. Mahomes is out, but we wonder what he can do. And Bridgewater, just a tremendous job that he's done here. You know, people just thought it was a downhill slide, but wow. So the guys, Jump Shot, as you joined us here, the black quarterback is proving not only can he win, and right now we see what Dak is doing with Dallas as they are leading right now in their game in Dallas against the Eagles. Jump Shot, I just was talking earlier with Bert, and we're watching the Orleans game. It seemed like everybody got credit for what's happening on the field except Mr. Bridgewater.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you give him an opportunity. You give the black quarterback an opportunity to perform, and that's what we want. You know, that's what it's about, and you see that's happening. I mean, kudos to Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, and I really it took me aback, but it's just another question of the more things change, the more they stay the same,
mm-hmm.
the more things change. When, okay, I know Andrew Luck, the announcement of his retirement was very sudden and unexpected, you know, but then the reaction, when you look back, okay, Andrew Luck, the franchise quarterback, he retires, and then you look back over your shoulder and you see Jacoby Brissett, the black quarterback, who was his backup, now is the number one starter, and people want to just refund tickets, throw in the season, want my money back, boycott the game. Oh, it's absurd. We can't have that. We can't have the face of our franchise in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 2020, somebody named Jacoby Brissett. Are you kidding me? We can't have that. That's absurd. Give me my money back. And now,
as often as things change, not only do they remain the same, but in retrospect, it's worse than they used to be, Jump Shot.
I mean, did this man throw for four touchdowns today? Or did he throw for four touchdowns today? Over 400 yards again. Are they winning? I mean, it's just it's sad and touching. That's the line that you're on. That you
yeah, the great line by Harold Wesson. Sad and touching.
Yeah. But
sad and touching.
It's opportunity. And that's all we want. And you give us an opportunity and the rest of it, and let the chips fall where they may. Same thing
great
with Teddy
by
Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was not even given an opportunity in New York. He not only got traded, he got traded before not a first, not a second, not a third, not a fourth, but like a fifth or sixth round draft pick to New Orleans to
not
sit
only
behind
that,
a Hall of
Fame
quarterback.
Bert too. The thing with Bert too was that it was a situation that you know, he was on the bus. He was on the bus. You know, and they said, "Hey, you got traded. Stop the bus." And nobody gave him a right. No, okay, you know, let's drive you back to there. Arthur Ashe's great line. We have to be twice as good. Get half a chance. And you see what happens when the opportunity is given to us. What about Tiger Woods? What about Miss Bowles, the greatest gymnastic of all times? Tiger Woods,
right.
Unquestionably, the greatest golfer of all time. We look at the divinity of sport. We can argue with Jordan. We can argue with Chamberlain, Russell, Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, but we're arguing about players of color. Greatest running back of all time. Unquestionably, Jim Brown. Yeah, but you can throw in Gale Sayers. You can go in throwing Emmitt Smith. You can throw in Eric Dickerson. You can throw in the great Gale Sayers. And so when the opportunity presents itself, not only do we show we can do it, we will become the best to ever do it. I got a 516 caller. Who's joining us now?
That may be our good friend Jonathan listening in from Long Island. That may be.
Oh, yeah, well, I think he said he wasn't, but yeah, Mr. Kane, who raised some Kane. It's looking back at the baseball season, and Jonathan had called me earlier, and he was saying, hey, Yankees got knocked out. And you know, I've said this often, gentlemen. Doc Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Cardio Network. Managers don't win games, lose games. Why were you bringing in Chapman last night? You got a 2-2 ball game. Okay, it's a tie game, so he couldn't close. I mean, why were you bringing in Chapman last night at a tie ball game? But it just shows where they missed for chances at. There's no question. But my point is, why were you bringing him in at a game? I mean, my thing is this, there are certain days that maybe, and we go back to the manager of the Mets who got fired, and he it was a great article that said, the Mets' chances of making the playoffs were hampered by him. And we look at Mass was pitching at the end of six innings. I'm not big on the pitch count, but he only threw 79 pitches. So he threw only 79 pitches after six innings. He had a 1-1 lead and had retired 14 batters in a row. And he went to the bullpen. What are you going to the bullpen for? He's got another 20 pitches, but he's retired 14 guys in a row. He's got a 1-1 lead, and you pull him out of the game. Why did they have to bring in Chapman? I mean, I don't understand. I thought he's the closer, so there was nothing to close last night because it's a tie game.
Right.
You know what, Doc? I'm gonna. I understand where you're coming from. I'm gonna give them a pass on that because a bigger question that comes to mind, not so much with Chapman. I think they do overmanage now. It's like, okay, let me just take a guy out, put him in, go to the bullpen. Maybe I'm old school. I'm not understanding in a game six of a championship series where you don't have a starter.
If we're going to continue to dog them, why is Aaron Judge batting second? Why is the guy who's hit 57 home runs batting second? I don't understand. The guy you're talking about, he's got to be 3, 4, 5. But why is he batting second? I don't understand. It's the whole philosophy is it's just crazy to me. I think it's a they missed for Tantris because last night he probably could have been the guy that came in right after the game was tied up. But it's just here. I'm looking at the. I just go back. Callaway taking Mass out the game. Callaway going to his bullpen. And what befuddles me too, gentlemen, is that I'm paying Jumpshot Jonesy. He's got a 3-year, $50 million contract. I got Bert here. He's got a 2-year, $35 million contract. And I got Jonathan, who's got a 4-year, $60 million contract. And you mean to tell me that I can't get one inning a night out of you guys for four nights in a row? I mean, can you hear guys? Well, you know what? Jump Shot, he went 1 1/3 last night, and Burke went 1 1/3. Are you serious? A baseball player comes in and sits down on the bench after every game, at any. He's sitting down all game. There's some guys who sit down more, depending on how the game goes, than you do in the field. I just be befuddled by guys being tired playing baseball. I'm befuddled.
You can't take Bob Gibson out of a 2-1 game.
They told me the story of Gibson is on the mound pitching, and Sally Hamus, who was a coach, who when he was manager of the team, told all the black pitchers they should look for another job, okay? And told all the black pitchers you should look for another job. And now Sally Hamus is coming out to the mound to take Bob Gibson out of the game. And Bob Gibson told him, if you take another step, I will kill you. Juan Marichal told the story. I'm redundant in this mentioning of this, but it's the out-of-town scoreboard, and the late, great Mets announcer, Murphy, Bob Murphy, says, let's go to the out-of-town scoreboard in San Francisco. It's Bond against Marichal, nothing at the end of three. And he went to the scoreboard again. He says, okay, out-of-town scoreboard. It's still nothing at the end of six. They're in the eighth inning now, and it's still nothing at the end of eight. They're in the 11th inning now, and it's still nothing. Spawn Marichal, it's all over. In the bottom of the 16th, Willie Mays, the greatest ever, has just hit a home run. The Giants beat the Braves, 1-0. Winning pitcher, 16 innings, Juan Marichal. Losing pitcher, 16 innings, Warren Spahn. I had a chance to talk to the great Marichal, and I asked him about that game, and he said, I threw 227 pitches that game. And let's go, Bert. Let's go, both Bert here. Let's go to the fact he threw 227, and he went 16 innings throwing 8 warm-up pitches. Okay? So that's 16 times 8 along with the 227 that he pitched.
Right.
I don't understand the pitch count. I don't understand why I got to bring a closer in. I don't want a setup man. I'm paying Jump Shot $18 million a year. He can't give me 6 pitches? I can't get 2 innings out of you?
Did he give you
back in the old day, when a guy came in for relief, that was it. Catfish Hunter, my buddy told me a good line, and we were down. I remember the fair. They had the great Catfish Hunter, the great Bart Starr, the late great Bart Starr, too, along with Catfish, now the late great Gordie Howe, and the only other guard you can mention in my submission, Oscar Robinson, from all around brilliance as a guard, Walt Frazier, at a quicker state of affair. Catfish Hunter told me the reason why they had the guys out in the bullpen. He said they didn't want him in the game in the first place.
There you go.
You know, when you were a relief pitcher, you know, you came in to relieve at that spot and to finish the game. I mean, there was no such thing as pitch count and stuff, but, you know, it's a different game. It's a different mindset. And Dusty Baker, who I don't understand why he doesn't have a job at baseball, I'm really upset by the national one of mine, but Dusty told me, you know, he doesn't go by the book. You know, Jump Shots, Jonesy is hitting 700 against Vandermeer. Well, I'm letting him hit. I don't care that he's a right-handed batter. 700 is 700, you know. Sometimes you
right.
bring the left-handed pitcher to pitch into the right-hand batter because the right-hand batter's hitting 206 against him as opposed to 907 against you. So sometimes a guy wonders who writes these books, but we know it wasn't anybody from a black persuasion. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, and the Trust and Government Network. The Eagles and the Cowboys 27-10 in the third quarter of a big win. Whoever wins this game jumps back on top of the division. Giants lost again today, and that's never – a sad scenario for me. Jets play the Patriots tomorrow. All around the NFL, Vikings win again. The Saints win again. The Packers win again. And Aaron Rodgers even ran a touchdown in there. And Seattle, they lost today for the first time this year. For the first time this year, Russell Wilson was intercepted. And it went back for a touchdown. And he was in the heavy of the MVP discussion. But basketball, gentlemen, we're getting ready to go into the NBA season. And the Knicks, I don't know if we're looking for the playoffs, but everybody's talking about the Clippers being the odds-on favorite. Jump Shot, Bert, and Jonathan. I don't see that because even though they got the MVP and the playoff MVP with them, but the gentleman from OKC, he has a propensity to get hurt. I mean, has he had a full healthy season in a while, your Jump Shot?
Paul George?
Yeah.
Last year he played a full season, played at the MVP level. I think the bigger question is how him and Kawhi gel.
That's right. Kawhi went to the Clippers. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing too that always gets me. You know, it's always a problem of two black guys playing together. You know, white boys always play together, but we always got to question the playing ability or the cohesiveness of two black players. And yet, you know, all their life, who they've been playing with. You know, I remember when there was a concern about Earl Monroe coming to the Knicks. In fact,
I remember that.
Red Holtzman didn't want him.
With a point.
Yeah.
Playing with with Walt Frazier.
All your life, who'd you play with? And then, but there was no concern about Jerry West and Gail Goodrich, who were averaging 25 points apiece from the backcourt. But no problem with that. They won a championship.
The underlying negativity that's always promoted.
Yeah. I mean, can they play together? I mean, let's do good things here. OKC had Durant. They had Harding.
Mm-hmm.
They had
Westbrook.
Okay. I remember the same thing with Carolina. They had Larry Johnson. They had Steph Curry's dad, had Alonzo Mourning. And they broke that team up. I mean, why do you do that? But I remember what Gary Ward told me playing with the Yankees. And he said, you know, the Yankees want to win with a certain type of player. And so does America. America wants to win with a certain type of player. And they'd rather lose with white guys and telling you about the energy and the effort, what they bring, as opposed to winning with black guys. I mean, let's not forget, gentlemen, at one time it was said that Michael Jordan was going to win all the scoring championships in the world, but he was never going to win a championship. I remember that. You know, he said, oh, no, he's going to win. There was talk of the Jordan winning championships, and I remember that, you know. And I don't know if you remember that, but I remember the early part of Jordan's career, there was talk about, well, you know, he's going to get a lot of scoring titles, but he's not going to win no championships. And John Sally said, you know, and Jim Mike said it as an introduction to the Hall of Fame, you know, he don't win without Scotty. You know, Scotty came in and brought a whole other dimension, but still, the fact that, you know, he couldn't supposedly win a championship. And you know, we look at this, and we don't want to really harp on it, but it's the makeup, the chemistry, everything. I mean, it's a situation where they will talk about championships, okay? But, all right, they never talk about the lack of championships for the like of Chris Mullin or the lack of John Stockton, but they'll talk about the lack of championships for Charles Barkley or Elgin Baylor. Guys who are far superior than both of those guys. You know what I mean? So, in this case here, like I said, it's the first thing they come up with. But, you know, if you didn't think these guys could play together, why'd you put them together? And more importantly, why are you giving that kind of money? Are you an idiot? It's the thing that gets to me about pro football owners. Okay, I'm paying Jump Shot $45 million. Burt's making another $30 million. And I got Kane making another $60 million. I got over $100 million on the football field. Why can't I use regular grass? Why am I doing AstroTurf? It's like hitting concrete. It causes injuries. I'm just befuddled between the money you get from television, the money you get from your sales. I mean, you can't spend a couple million dollars on natural grass? As the great football historian and analyst, C-Wings used to say the NFL stands not for long. And that's one of the big reasons. I remember my buddy Eric Swan, St. Louis Cardinals, and he said every year they would give the players a question here. And what's your preference, AstroTurf or natural grass? All the players would overwhelmingly, 92-97% go with grass. They still did the AstroTurf. So why are you asking them?
It's meaningless to even ask an opinion because they already made the decision of what they're going to do.
Yeah. It's just as the great man Brooks is perpetrating the fraud. Boxing wise, got a chance to talk to Derrick James. We tried to get him done a week too. The other day, the trainer of Errol Smith, he said, Errol, in fact, last Sunday, as I watched the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, we talked about it, and Jerry had said that in marking Spence and knowing him, his problems in the crash weren't physical, as they were more so of, you know, he had some facial problems, face and teeth. And then talking to Derek, who returned my call the other day, he told me that that it is the same thing, is that they definitely can't fight in December. That's out. But it's not going to take as long as it was perceived to be. His injuries are not of a nature that are going to cause him not to be able to physically do the things and get himself together fighting wise. Their biggest problem now is just some facial stuff, some teeth and stuff like that. And from what I heard too, the ejection out of the car saved his life, because had he stayed in the car, it would have been a situation of he would have been crushed and killed in the car. So he's going to be back. We'll probably look for him sometimes in the latter part of next year. And in the ensuing shows, we'll get Derek on the show here to talk some more about that. And he thanked everybody here at SID and across the country for their prayers and concern. And we also want to send our get well wishes to you, Bert, and to Dusty, and our sympathy to Ms. Tina Woods and her family, Bill Calhoun. She lost her husband, married 20-something years, and a military guy. So sympathy, get well wishes, and also glad to hear that Spence will be back soon. Fight's coming up too. We've got next month, November 2nd, Canelo and Kovalev. And then we've also got in December, Pearl Harbor Day. Joshua and Ruiz. And we got another third fight coming here. So, yeah, Dante Wilder and Ortiz. We can get Dustin out. Not really too late to get Dustin out to join us boxing-wise. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. And, gentlemen, so we got you here, Bert. We've got you here. Jump shot. What are we thinking tomorrow? Patriots and Jets. Good football game last week. They're getting back our best defensive player. Starting with you, Jump Shot. Any given Sunday, we got a chance to win that game tomorrow?
Absolutely, we have a chance. Is CJ? I don't know if CJ Mosley is going to be activated for tomorrow. Certainly, if he is, you know, that's going to help on the defensive end. You know, ball control, running the ball, keeping Tom Brady off the field as much as you can will help the Jets' cause. It's going to be control of, ball control, possession. Now that's going to be key, and the defense. You know, but we have a shot. Hey, Doc, let me go back to when you were speaking about boxing. We probably need to take a moment, have a moment of silence for the family of Patrick Day. One of my colleagues and mentors, who actually you know, Coach Wayne Slater, one of his students is a good friend of Patrick Day and the family. And Patrick Day came from a well-to-do family and actually did not have to box, chose to box because he loved the game. And unfortunately, we lost him this week due to injuries from the boxing ring. So, you know, we need to offer prayers to his family. If we need to have a moment of silence, let's do so. On behalf of the late Patrick Day,
we're going to get to Patrick in just a second. I got an even better idea to salute Patrick, but real quickly, we want to salute the legendary Don Thomas, entertainment editor from the iconic and renowned legendary Big Wig News and Non-New York Beacon, the EWVY Award. He's going to be honored. The Cultural Interchange is pleased to inform us that let us enter Don. Cultural Interchange is pleased to inform you that you have been chosen to be honored with the 2019 EWV Millennium Lifetime Achievement Award. This award is presented to you for your outstanding and dedicated contributions and efforts to promote and preserve interest and entertainment in the field of fashion with you, your talent as an excellent writer and reporter, and for your continued support and promotion of EWVY at Cultural Interchange and the annual New York EWV Fashion Awards. The EWV Millennium Lifetime Award will be presented as part of a pre-holiday celebration of the New York City fashion industry. Annual New York EWVY and Fashion Awards presentation show took place on November 9th, 2019 at the Manhattan Club. It is located in the address over 4. We thank you for your photo and your prompt response. So the legendary Don Thompson, I'll tell you, one of the great honors that I was once spoken when I was writing for the iconic Big Red News, which I love so immensely. And Michael Neal said, it was at Don Thomas and Doc Stanley or Big Red News. And I remember the date and time precisely when I met Don was he? I was always been entertained, but it was a date that Ray Leonard fought Marvin Hagler, and Anita Baker was at the 2020 Club, which was then owned by the late Nick Ashford and his lovely wife Valerie Simpson. And as I was going into the club, because we were going to watch the fight there that night, the juries had been honored earlier. And we were going to watch the fight, and I saw Miss Baker. I said, "Hi, Miss Baker." I said, "Excuse me." I said, "You know, my name is Doc Stanley." I said, "I write for the New York Beacon," and said, "And my entertainer is." And when I said Don Thomas, she said, "Oh," she said, "Stop, stop." She said, "Don Thomas was writing about me before anybody else was. The list of celebrities and acknowledgments of the people in the business for Don is just endless. You know, Whitney's late. Whitney, there's nobody in the business that Don doesn't know, and nobody in the business that doesn't respect." Oh, no, Don. We're going to have him on the show down the line, too. But I just wanted to take that moment to acknowledge a long-time colleague, a long-time legend, a long-time friend, and a long-time role model, the legendary Don Thomas. And what I want to do, too, let's do three bells for Mr. Patrick. Jump shot, gentlemen. A moment of sign of remembrance. I'm not only an elite athlete, but outstanding young man.
Yeah.
And just a salute to a fine young man. And that's the thing, too, in all the notes and stuff. I think I have one, too. Let me go back. And that was the thing they talked about, just what an outstanding young man he was. And people understand how close the average fan is to the boxer, because he's the guy that they remember running around the block, getting his running. He's the guy that they saw with the gloves on. Boxers have been the greatest of all athletes I've been around in the sense of their reachability. You can interchange with them, your association with them. And I remember my first mentor, the late great Dr. Frank Bannister, said, you catch a fighter on the way up, and he never ever forgets you. And I've seen that. I remember. I was with the legendary Big Red. I went to our director of photography, and I was at a press conference. Camacho was training to fight Jose Luis Ramirez, and I stopped him at a second, and we started talking. And when I finished talking to him, there was a crowd around us. And I remember Dennis saying to me, he says, now everybody was listening, but he was talking to you. And they remember you. When they're 3-0, and then I think I told this story redundantly about the greatest PR man in the history of Madison Square Boxing, the great PR man and my godfather, and my daughter's godfather, John Condon, and John Condon denied Ali Frazier fight a credential for Ali Frazier 1, and they went to John's superiors, and they said, we were denied a credential, and they called John in and said, John, you didn't give Time Magazine a credential. And John said, I don't need Time Magazine to sign Ali Frazier. They sell itself. But now I need Time Magazine when I'm doing my Monday night fights, when I got a guy 3-0 fighting a guy 2-0, or my Wednesday night fights. But I he said, what am I going to do now? Am I going to bump El Diario that does a fight story every day? I'm not bumping on my regular guys, El Diario. I got the Amsterdam, the Beacon. These guys are my small fights. My weekly ride, I'm taking care of my guys from New York, you know what I mean? And then if there's something left, maybe I can find something for life, but I don't need life for this. And life hasn't earned it. And that was part of that regime. Dennis talked about coming to a fight one time, and he was sitting ringside as a photographer, shooting ringside. And he told John, you must have made a mistake. I'm usually on the ramp. John, I made a mistake. He said, you've been shooting for a year and a half. You've earned ringside. You shoot ringside now. Unfortunately, a lot of me is not allowed that anymore. But the point I'm making is that the fighters remember you, too, when you see them when they're 2-0. And I remember one of the greatest tributes I ever got in my life in this business due to, by the grace of God, all great things come from Don King flew me and the greatest boxing mind of our time, Marion Boykin, out to the Buddy McGirt Simon Brown fight. Buddy was fighting for the welterweight championship of the world. And we landed in the greatest avenue sportscast in history in New York City Radio. The guy who opens the show and closes, Larry Hardy, he met us at the airport, took us to his room. And in fact, the first time I said Swordfish, we had something to eat for lunch and we got dressed. And we went to Buddy's dressing room before the fight. And, you know, he was talking and everything. And I remember when they gave Buddy the WBC welterweight belt. And when they handed him the belt, he looked across the room and he said, when Mel Stanley and Marion Boykin walked into my dressing room, I knew I was going to win the fight. You don't forget that. You don't forget that. And this was about a guy that we covered from the beginning. But he said, when Marion Boykin and Mel Stanley walked into my dressing room, I knew I was going to win the fight. And we had flew in from New York out to Vegas. Like I said, boxers, don't forget. Somebody handed me a tribute that sort of stunned me. And my man, Peter McLean, a very important agent in the world of football in Europe, which is what we call soft football. And he said he was at an affair, and Evander Holyfield was there. And he's chatting with Holyfield, and he says, look, you know, I know this may be happenstance or anything, but you know, I have a good friend from New York named Doc Stanley, and you may not know him. And Holyfield said, he said that he told him that what I heard that, and this is all about it, Derek Jeter one time said, he said, everybody knows Doc Stanley. But fighters don't forget. Fighters don't forget. They're appreciative of what you do. And the greatest of all is Muhammad Ali. You know, I laugh at times when I want to see guys and you ask them, you know, for an autograph or a minute. I don't have time right now. Ali always had time for his brothers and sisters, man. You know, he always had time. Remember affair, and the guy came a little late. And I said, wait, bro, I'll, you know, just come into the dressing room, man. I'll talk to you now. I remember the Jerry Corey, Joe Frazier fight. And I remembered it because Joe Lewis was the referee, and I got a chance to meet Joe Lewis. And Ollie was coming from ringside. And I said, champ, you got a minute? And the class and character of Ali. And he said, bruh, okay, bruh, I'm in a hurry, but I knew Joe was going to win. The mannerism, the, you know, you can't put in Ali with, bruh, I'm in a hurry, but I knew Joe was going to win. The last time I had some stuff autographed, I had a bag full of stuff autographed. I knew I could get it all done, but I said, let me get a few things done. And Ali told me, what's in the bag, man? Hey, give me everything in the bag. You can't put him and Pelé kind of person, but it's fighters. Fighters remember you. Fighters appreciate you coming. And that thing, athletes, you know, custom, well, you know, I don't read the paper. Hey, they read the paper. They read the paper. They know what you say. And like I'm saying, I was given another tribute. I said, you know, that guy, man, he don't write bad stuff. But, you know, a guy strikes out. He don't want you to go over and ask him what pitch did he miss. Guy dropped the floor ball. He don't want to hear some nonsense about it with the son. I remember a guy one time when the players dropped the ball and the guy asked him, well, you know, son is here. He's 4 years old. What are you going to tell your son? What a stupid question. I'm going to tell my son. My son don't care what I dropped the ball. He's 4 years old. He didn't even see me drop the ball. Yeah, what's the guy to do with anything? You know, this kind of nonsense jump shot and Bert that they talk about, well, you know, we didn't get Doc Stanley. I know he's a lifetime 327 hitter, two-time MVP, but you know, he's a cancer in the clubhouse. I've never heard, and you're wow. Correct. I've never heard clubhouse 7 Yankees 2. I mean, you mean to tell me that I don't like Bert? I don't like jump shots so much. When I go to the club, I'm going to strike out just to spite them. It was good nonsense. One guy told me, I remember a writer that he would never vote for Jim Rice. Jim Rice is the only right-handed batter, the only black batter in the 20th century to have a three-year run of over 300 batting average, 200 hits, 100 scored runs, 100 runs driven in, double figures and triples and doubles and 40 home runs. But he said, but Jim Rice always played for himself. Are you kidding me? How can anything you do positive on a baseball team be a detriment? You know, I always played for himself. The better I play, the better it helps the team. But it's the mindset of these writers. I mean, you look at how did somebody, how did 23 guys not vote for Willie Mays to get into the Hall of Fame? How did 23 guys not vote for Willie Mays to get into the Hall of Fame? And then you 23 guys didn't have Willie Mays on the ballot. 9 guys didn't have Hank Aaron on the ballot. But how does 23 guys not vote for Willie? And at that time, that was the highest percentage that he got in by anybody outside of the first ballot. But it's you know, as often things change, Jim, like you said, they remain the same. They remain
exactly.
The same.
Exactly. And so much stuff is so implicit, and when you call it out, they try to gaslight you and make you say that you're not seeing what you know you saw.
And
it's amazing. It's amazing. You see the wrong that's done, and you see that it comes from the heart of people, and it's not based on talent. It's based on what they want to see and they're comfortable with.
Yeah, well, they're always comfortable with it. Yeah, I remember the great line by W.E. Du Bois when soldiers came back from World War II. They said, so we fought over there. And we come back and continue our fight over here. I mean, it was remarkable. You know, the Navy, when you went into the Navy, and its inception of accepting minorities, blacks, because people forget that, you know, everything that every other ethnicity has in this country, black people got for them. Well, in the Navy, you can only be a valet or a cook. And what about the Tuskegee Airmen, who were given, like, the Buffalo Soldiers, second grade equipment?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they got first grade, first class results. My goodness. My goodness. Only in America, as Don King says. Only in America. Bert, is that game tomorrow winnable? Jets against the Patriots?
I think that, you know, there's like any team can beat any other team if you come out just right. Just like what the Jets did against the Cowboys. They almost gave it back. You know. Because they came out quick in the first half and took the lead, and then they were kind of relaxed in the second half, and Dallas was clawing their way back, and when Dallas did the onside kick, that player for the Jets, I mean, all they had to do was just grab it and fall down, and apparently he didn't have his hands out right, and the ball hit him in the chest, and we were lucky that he was able to gather it underneath himself before Dallas piled on. Otherwise, it would have been Dallas's ball. So,
well, you know, the key to that game, too, Bert, was, and NFL Ed said it, was the field goal that the Cowboys didn't take on 4th and 2 instead of running for 4th and 2, taking that field goal, and the field goal they didn't make.
Yep.
That's 6 points there, but the kicker kicks a 57-yard and can't make a 37-yarder. So that's really crazy. But, on any given Sunday, that can happen. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break, and I want to play something that I think you better think about that is just about here.
Kind to one and all. It's that
jump shot, Bert. Really? I mean, this is October. Yeah. We are talking about less than 8 weeks. We're doing Christmas time, gentlemen.
Oh my goodness! Too quick.
Yeah. You know, it's during Christmas time. I think people understand the history of that. Is that we all know December 25th is not Christ's birthday. In fact, it's a pagan holiday. But it's just remarkable that we're looking here, and it's the 25th is going to be. Gentlemen, well, I know you're Sunday. We're going to close in a second too. But some thoughts here. Jonathan, my man Kane, are you with us? And he said, hey, you know, what about the Yankees? And I say, well, what about the Yankees? Next to last team, we get a black player. There's nobody black of merit in the organization.
On the Yankee team, right.
Yeah, well, and you only have one black player, and I think that's Hicks.
What is he like? I saw him. Is he like one of the bullpen pitchers?
No, well, Hicks is the center fielder.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just that, you know, you're looking back at the history of this game. Cowboys just scored again, too. Dak Prescott. This is one of the things they've talked about, the Cowboys putting Dak in a position that he could run the football. So he's got innings on it. You know, the Sherry with a great line. And people talk about the great offensive line of the Cowboys. Dak Prescott got sacked for the first time this season today. And the Cowboys, too, the Hickam history today, he kicked a 63-yarder, so he's one of only three or four guys that would do that. Cowboys are kind of putting this away. It's 37-10 with about 9 minutes left to go. Big football game. And they talked about this before the game, Jump Shot and Bert, that the Cowboys, whenever they play a big game, they seem to have the ability, and this will be, I think, their fourth or fifth straight time beating Philadelphia. But when they play Philly or the Giants or the Redskins in a must-win game, they always seem to be able to pull it out. And right now, unless the earthquake comes, they're going to be in great shape here right now. 30-something to win, yeah. It's a big win here. And like I said, baseball-wise, you know, we're looking close to the scope of baseball. You know, where are the black players? More importantly, where are the black managers? We've got the guy out in L.A. and Robertson. And let's go back, Jump Shot, again, to managers losing it. Why, you know, and me and Dusty Baker talked about it. And Dusty's going to be a guest on our show, too, down the line. Okay, why did you bring in Kevin Kershaw? You voted him in the seventh inning, and he got out the seventh inning. Good, it worked. But my thinking here, Jump Shot, and Bert is, wait a minute, hold it. Why are you bringing him in? If you win the series, don't you need him to start a game? Don't you want to be in his best?
Right.
Okay, let's go with it. Okay, hey, he got you out of the seventh. You bring him in the eighth. He gives up a home run. Any time to take him out now? Why are you letting him throw another home run? I mean, you know he doesn't pitch well in the postseason, but he got you out the seventh inning. Now he throws a home run ball to the first guy in the eighth inning, and you keep him in. Jump Shot, Bert, it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I think for what I remember in the past, any good managers, once you brought in a reliever and immediately give up a home run, he's taking them right out.
Yeah, for sure. Historically, he hasn't done. I mean, he has an excellent starting. He has an excellent record as a starter. He's gotten them to the playoffs on multiple occasions. He's helped to get them to the World Series. You know, the question is, I mean, and this, especially in the way the game is played today, where's your setup man? Well,
right.
You don't have your setup man to get you to your closer. And then, obviously, there must have been a little apprehension with the closer because they didn't even do what the Yankees did yesterday, which was bring in, at least the Yankees, they brought in Chapman to maintain the tie. But the Dodgers didn't bring in. The Dodgers didn't bring in Jansen at all. And when they did bring him in, they had already lost the lead. It was 7-3. And Jansen, his body language was like, "Well, you're bringing me in now."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
It's you just look at these things it doesn't make any sense. Well, the Dodgers ain't in the World Series this year because of it. And you look at the St. Louis Cardinals, 10 big runs in the first inning against the Braves. They can hardly get anything after that. man. But the thing, too, is remarkable to me. It's a great man, Boykin says, that you'll fire the guy in St. Louis and he'll get a job in Kansas City. You'll fire the guy in Chicago, he'll get a job in Chicago. You know, like now, you know, some guys always have a job. Now, the guy that left Chicago, now he's already got a job, a 3-year deal with the Angels. And in my clock here, too, I have some different pictures, and I put a picture, and we talked about, you know, talk about greatness of guys, great guys are and everything, and they stay great, but you want to put that asterisk next to a minority play. Nobody's saying Mike Trout ain't great, but Mike Trout seems to have made the playoffs. Have made the playoffs. Nice. Have been close to getting to the playoffs, you know, but he's still the best player in baseball. You know, and I was talking to Trina, this guy was talking about Verlander, and I said, hey, man, you don't utter Verlander in the same breath with Koufax, Marichal, Gibson, and Seaver. I mean, I think people have to overlook all over the fact that a guy that pitches with a DH, the pitcher can stay in the game. You know, I got jump shot coming up here in the middle of the seventh inning. He's got a 2-1 lead. Do I let him hit, or do I bring in Burt in the seventh inning? But I don't have to worry about that. And with the DH, I just let him pitch. And usually, it's not like you're hitting the 9 batters, because usually the 9th guy, he can't hit anyway. That's why he got him in the 9th spot. Anybody batting 9th can't hit.
Right.
Yeah. The only guy that's ever drove in 100 runs in a 9th spot is Kevin Elster, who used to be the shortstop for the Mets, who one time held the record for most earliest games at shortstop. And by the grace of God, he's in our Trust in God Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. Jim, I know he holds your Sunday night. Closing thoughts, starting with you, Jump Shot.
Yeah, well, the game is, I mean, obviously we know the game has changed so much over the years. A lot of the black players have fallen through the cracks and are not even on the radar when it comes to managerial opportunities. I like to mention a gentleman just for historical purposes from back in the 70s who either is one of the few or maybe the only black player to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season. He did that with the Oakland Athletics, the Oakland A's, in 1971. His name is Mr. Vida Blue. And I mentioned Blue, who was 24-8 that season with a 1.82 earned run average that season, because he pit in that same season, he completed 16 games.
Yeah.
Complete games.
Yes,
there are pitching staffs today that have 16 players. Now, to dovetail on what you said about, had Vida not came up the year before, he'd have been the only player to win the MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year award in the same year. He won the MVP, Cy Young. He didn't win the Rookie of the Year because he didn't have rookie status. But had he not come up or not passed the days, he would have been all three. Now, somebody was talking about how great this Houston pitching staff is, and somebody said, well, what about the Baltimore Orioles that had Dave McNally, Jim Palmer, Mike Quayle, and Pap Dotson, who, gentlemen, not only all won 20 games, they completed, are you ready for this, gentlemen? 70 games as a pitching staff. They completed 70 games as a pitching staff.
But you know what it is? I think baseball is falling into the same thing basketball fell into. Because in basketball, you only got 5 positions on the floor. But now with a lot of your current players who don't truly have a fully developed set of skills on the court,
ladies and gentlemen, this is why you listen to Sports in Depth. Because you learn here, you hear things you won't hear any place else. I've long said this, Bert. You know, what's this small forward, power forward? What's this point guard and shooting guard? And when we came up, how could you be a guard that couldn't dribble and had no jump shot?
Exactly.
What's his power force? And what's his power force? Small forward, power forward. If you're down in the park and you tell a guy, well, I'm a point guard, I'm not getting a rebound. Yeah, well, you're not playing next game. And what's his power forward?
Exactly. You're
going to
stay
forward
on the side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a power forward, man. You know what I mean? Didn't even power forward. He's a 1, he's a 2, he's a 3, he's a 4. Yeah, it's and you see it in basketball. And you're right, the deterioration of basketball in the sense of but you know what happens, Bert, and you have a jump shot. As a college coach, I got to win. So, okay, jump shot, I just want you to rebound. Bert, I just want you to play defense. Doc, just shoot your – don't dribble. Just shoot a jump shot. I got – so you got specialists because coach is about winning. Coaches are helping y'all, but you're not developing players anymore. And you're not developing
–
exactly. When we came up, I never heard power forward, small forward. You were forward.
Right.
I never heard point guard,
right.
Shooting guard. You were guard. I mean, as I look back,
right.
Oscar and Wes and Frazier and Monroe and Goodridge and Lenny Wilkins, they all could dribble and shoot.
Right.
I understand it.
Guard,
yeah.
And a center.
Yeah, yeah. But now you got it. Well, he's a one, he's a two, he's a three, he's a four. Yeah, that was just nonsense, man. You know what I mean, now look at some of the great players. Bob Pettit, 26-16. They're talking. I saw a team that had the all-time NBA All-Star team. Fewest games to 6,000 scrimmage yards. Edwin James, 44. Eric Dickerson, 47. LeBron Bell. Wow, that's amazing. 47.
Mm.
And Ezekiel Elliott, 47. Wow. Great company there, Ezekiel Elliott. And you know, you just look at you know, it's, I don't know, you know, these stats and things that are just sort of really so immaterial. But, Bert, closing thoughts, and Jim, sure you follow.
Well,
because you were there, so
like I said, I'm happy one end, I'm like, I'm looking around the league now in the NFL, and I remember many years ago when it was a rarity to see a black quarterback, and you think of the earlier guys that had to deal with stuff like Warren Moon back
Warren
in the
Moon.
Day. And even
I remember the guy who was a quarterback, Marlon Briscoe, who was a quarterback who came in and saved the Denver Broncos, and they told him next year he couldn't be quarterback no more. You know, they just wouldn't have a nigga quarterback. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
And
Jay
even the
Washington,
brothers that won for the Washington, Doug Williams. But yet the opponent he beat, which I believe it was the Dolphins, got that quarterback got a bigger endorsement deal than the brother who came in and won the Super Bowl.
I think it's the Redskins. But no, here's
Elway.
The thing. It was who was that?
John Elway.
Broncos. Broncos. Who, when they talk about great quarterbacks, you know, Elway for me is a better quarterback than Brady. You know, I'm taking Elway, and the guy that I'm taking over everybody, number one, is Joe Namath. If Joe Namath was around today, he gets 8,000 yards a year. I mean, you couldn't touch his receiver. You know what I mean? But the thing that we're talking about black athletes is that when they retire from the sport, they're just that. Now there are more of them getting broadcasting jobs, but whoever offers any kind of managerial or coaching job to Willie Mays or Hank Aaron.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Jim Brown. You know what I mean?
No.
You go back. Gail said, you know, you're just an ex-athlete. I mean, like I said, you know, you look at a guy like Don Zimmer, 50 years he had a job in baseball. 50 years. 50 years.
Right.
Chris Chambers got fired as the world champion batting coach of the Yankees. How did that happen? You got fired
exactly.
as the world champion batting coach? You won the world championship. What happened? They were taking too many strikes? It's remarkable. When Willie Randolph applied for the job, and Randolph was the first black captain, not Derek, it was GM for a while, and they told Willie they were going another direction. And when it comes to minorities, they're always going in the other direction, far, far away.
Yeah.
Jump shot, your closing thoughts.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on the show and to hear my good friend Bert Mayon on the program today. So, you know, that's that does my heart good. Also, Jonathan, I think Jonathan is on, so shout out to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same, the more things change. You know,
and
Willie Randolph, who should be a manager today, knowledge-wise and experience-wise, is probably better than half the managers in the game today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we go, gentlemen. Here we go. Let's go back to the fact that the year that
Joe Madden can go from Chicago to
he
angel job.
Here we go. Willie Randolph took the Mets, won the division, took them to the playoffs. But the guy who won Manager of the Year was Girardi, who had got fired and had a second place team. As
no,
I already said, the complexion, the complexion
under 500.
Yeah, yeah, the complexion got fired. Beyond that,
got fired and was 6 games under 500.
And he was the manager of the year.
And became manager.
Think about
manager
how he got fired. They fired him while he was on the West Coast.
Oh, well, Willie Randolph's the only manager I know to get fired, gentlemen, in the midst of a winning streak on the road. Gentlemen, if y'all want to hang on, let's play our closing theme. We'll come back in a minute. And
okay.
Kurt Whelan and Lolita Holloway. Gentlemen, because you love me. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's the one I like the best. I close it. What I do, gentlemen.
One like you, it's 'cause you're mine. Cause you're you. It's cause I'm in love. It's what I
June from Teaneck, New Jersey. I believe he was listening on the show tonight. And let's go, Jim.
Okay. And with that, remembering not only a champion in the ring, but outside the ring, Mr. Patrick, we close this music out for you. Gentlemen, Rock Stanley Sports and the Block Talk Radio.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Family. Take it away.
And with that, some docisms, you are either always doing something or you have something to do. Doing the right thing results in the right thing being done to and for you. Emerge, fast, solve in the moment. It could be a good one, a special one, or the last one. Take time to dissolve in what it all may be. And you too can see what it may not be, and then let it be. Always finally deep in our hearts and daily in our prayers and mind. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Doc Left Video. Thanks for being here.
Who really cares? To save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living.
Live
for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save a world that is destined
our new closing theme, Lost Penny. Put the I Am My Sister's Keeper, a picture of Roberto Clemente, whose classic line is, I am my brother's keeper. Dovetailed by Nelson Mandela, and my brothers come in all colors. Dr. King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, excuse me, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali. The ultimate measure of a man is not the way he stands in times of comfort and convenience, the way he stands in times of challenge and controversy. Dr. King. Forgiveness is not a case lack, but a permanent state of mind. Be kind. Be silly. Be honest. Walt Whitman. And the man who wrote The Invisible Man. You can never do a kindness too soon. You don't know when it may be soon too late. Mr. Ellison. And we close out.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words, just barely visible, in God we trust. I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand. Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust. Oh, in God we trust. In God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
I've always doing something, or you have something to do. Doing the right thing results in the right thing being done too. Kind, silly.